plates that has followed this, as it did the Ranger and Mariner flights before it, men highly skilled in the electronic side of their business, from this place through and to an antenna 150 miles away, an 85-foot dish antenna at Goldstone, California. This is Dr. Al Gibbs. I'm just announcing that he'll have an announcement in 30 seconds. An announcement that by now should indicate that we're with well under the 9-minute time to retrofire, and a whole sequence of events that will start putting the spacecraft on automatic should begin at just about this time. Here's Dr. Hibbs. Coming right up. They should be about to turn on the radar power.
This is Surveyor Operations. The bus chief reports from the basis of telemetry that the altitude marking radar temperatures look very nominal. So that the, as far as can be told, the surveyor is in good shape.
Nominal. Spacecraft ease where everything's going well. Dr. Hibbs and those control room scenes look a little dark now. Most of the lights within the room have been turned off so that the meters, the dials, and the gauges can be read more accurately. Earlier, when we took our tour, there were room lights, and they could give a much better television picture. May I remind you, by the way, that our coverage tonight is coming to you live from Pasadena. All of these events are being reported in what they call real time.
Survey operations, information in about 30 seconds.
Another announcement upcoming in about 30 seconds. This time we should hear that the radar power is turned on. And by now the spacecraft should have picked up speed. Should be doing more than 5,000 miles an hour in relationship to the surface. Should be at an altitude of about 500 miles or thereabouts. We'll find out shortly from Dr. Hibbs as he comes up with this announcement describing the health, the status.
This is Surveyor Operations. In preparation for the final retro maneuver, the retro sequence mode has been turned on for telemetry. We are now turning on the thermal controls for the fuel tank, burnier line, tank number two. Then the oxidizer tank two, lines one, burnier lines one, oxidizer tank two, thermal control power is off. Vernier lines 3, oxidizer tank 3, thermal control power off. Power is off on the vernier lines for tanks 1, 2, and 3.
These controls, of course, require the temperature controls, the engine controls, the fuel controls aboard the spacecraft. Technical language describing technical
the,
things.
The AMR power will be turned on in approximately 3 minutes.
AMR, altitude marking radar. The radar that will control the Vernier engine.
Bus 1, Bud Rather, is now briefing once more the Surveyor Operations Chief at Goldstone, Ray Kress, on the exact sequences to be gone through and the exact times at which these commands are to be sent.
6 minutes and 46, 45, 44 seconds to retrofire. May I remind you that the retrofire will precede touchdown, hopefully, by 3 minutes and 1 second.
We are now about 6 minutes and 30 seconds from retro ignition.
6 minutes and 30 seconds. Reading from the clocks, Spaceflight Operations Facility, here in Pasadena, California.
90 seconds to go to turn on the altitude marking radar power.
The power they're talking about turning on is 230
Surveyor Operations Chief at Station 11, the Goldstone site in California, is now on his own to execute these commands according to the preset times. First, the AMR power on. Then thrust phase electrical power. This is an additional load on the batteries, additional electrical energy to be held throughout the thrust phase. Then to enable the AMR to send its signal. These are the three commands in order. 60 seconds before the first AMR power on command. Thereafter, cycling through the others.
Once they reach that mark, everything goes automatic. Automatic retro staging sequence will begin. Right now, Earth Command still are controlling Surveyor, but the automatic sequence will begin at about 3.1 minutes, at which time the spacecraft is about 60 miles above the surface. So as we talk down to retrofire, remember that when retro begins, the altitude will still be about 60 miles, and the speed will be 6,000 miles an hour, when retro sequence ends.
This is Surveyor Operations. In 10 seconds, the AMR power will be turned on. 4, 3, 2, 1. Mark, the command has gone to turn on the altitude marking radar power.
And we are growing ever closer to
the telemetry indicates
time.
It is on.
The radar is working. That's an important milestone, right?
We are now waiting the command in the register to be sent next as thrust phase electrical power turn on.
This is the first time that radar has been fully checked since it took off from Earth 63 hours and some minutes ago. It is working.
The altitude marking radar is on. This is confirmed.
Another milestone has been accomplished.
20 seconds for the thrust phase power.
When that power turns on, it's all automatic from that point in.
4, 3, 2, 1. Mark, the command has gone to turn on thrust phase electrical power. Telemetry indicates it is on. We are now 3 minutes and 30 seconds from retro ignition.
3 minutes and 30 seconds to the most critical phase in the entire flight of Surveyor. Everything is still going well.
30 seconds to go to the 1 minute 30 seconds. Correction, 1 minute 30 seconds. To enable the altitude marking radar. Incidentally, a slight change from my previous announcements. I will be giving you descent speeds in miles per hour during the descent of the retro phase. Altitudes in feet, speeds in miles per hour.
We're listening to Dr. Al Gibbs speaking directly from the Space Flight Operations Facility, Surveyor Control.
60 seconds to the AMR enable. When that switch is thrown, then the next time that radar sees something that looks like the moon at the right altitude, it'll turn on the retro. Up until that switch is thrown, it cannot initiate the retro, even if it accidentally gets the wrong signal.
AMR, altitude marking radar, telling Surveyor how high it is above the surface. Dr. Albert Gibbs, reporting from the Space Flight Office.
30 seconds. Before we enable the altitude marking radar. At 14 minutes and 37 seconds after 11, the emergency signal will be sent to back up the marking radar's mark.
That word enable means to turn on.
10 seconds to go.
Make it work.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Mark. Telemetry indicates it is now enabled.
The spacecraft is now on automatic.
We are now 1 minute and 30 seconds away from expected retro ignition.
It will tell itself where it is and what it must do from this point in. These men in the control center, watching their panels and dials, listening to the tone in the background that indicates their spacecraft is still going well.
There are 60 seconds from the expected time when we get that first mark. From then on, there will be a 7.8 second built-in delay before the ignition.
And remember, from the time of that ignition, it will be about 3 minutes until the spacecraft lands on the
verniers will turn on approximately 1 second before the main retro. 30 seconds to go. Seconds to go before we expect the marking radar to turn on to send its mark. 10 seconds waiting for the marking radar. 4, 3, 2, 1. Mark. We should now get verification of the marking signal. AMR mark.
The radar
car's working.
Burner ignition. Retro is now firing.
The engines are burning. Look at those happy smiles.
Ignition looks stable. Stable ignition. We are now at 5,148 miles an hour. Down to 116,000 feet, 4590.
The applause. For the simple fact that the
now down to 63,000 feet, 3,900 miles per hour. 8 G's acceleration. We are now at 30,000 feet. Retro burnout is confirmed.
We're waiting now for
32,000 feet.
The retro engine has been ejected.
400 feet per second vertical velocity. 28,000 feet. 425 feet per second. 24,000 feet. Engineering commutator 3 has been turned on. We are in lock with the engineering 3 data. Strain gauges are reading out. These strain gauges will give us indication about touchdown.
400 feet per second.
400 feet per second.
12,000 feet.
10,000 feet. 10,000 feet. All signals are normal.
8,000
feet.
250
feet per second. 8,000 feet. 200 feet per second.
200 feet per second.
Surveyors reported in excellent condition. All signals look good. 4,000 feet, stable. 1,000 foot mark. 800 feet, 600 feet. 400 feet. 200 feet.
100 feet per second.
100 feet.
100 feet.
13 feet per second speed. Touch the bus chief before the touchdown.
That is phenomenal. Perfect.
Signal strength is reported at minus 125.5 dBm. We'll now await further indication on the condition of the surveyor. Power is being turned off. That has been commanded.
What do you say except how perfect is
thrust
perfect?
Base power is off.
13 feet per second was the precise speed they were looking for as those verniers were due to turn off. That's what the applause was all about. It's also what those happy grins were in the control center. From all indications, this has been a perfect and very soft landing. Far softer than man has ever accomplished before.
The RADVIS power, that's the radar system that controlled the final touchdown, is now being turned off.
After this, the transmitter must be turned
on. That is now off. All flight control power is now turned off. The telemetry is working properly.
The Russians failed at least 5 times in trying to make their landing. We succeeded, from all indications, on the very first attempt. This is a remarkable scientific achievement. I must admit, just as a casual observer, I'm a little choked up by what's just happened here. Now, of course, we still have to find out the status of the equipment. What about, first of all, the radio? Did it survive?
Engineering commutator number 2 is now being turned on.
It seems to have. It's working. It's receiving. And the next big question after that will be what happens when they order the television camera to
turn on. The next command is to turn turn off the touchdown strain gauge power.
They're turning off now the flight engineering. And as this flight engineering goes off, it will be time to turn on the transmitter.
We have good about O2 data. Engineering commutator 2 is turned on. The survey appears to be in good condition.
About 22 or 23 minutes from now, with luck, we hope to see a first picture. We are watching the controllers. A happy group, if ever there was one. You may recognize the face of Bob Parks.
We verified the Radness power is now turned off. We're getting good engineering commutator 2 data.
Here, the gentleman that a few moments ago was talking about this air, about the problems of Surveyor in the past and how it hopefully had overcome those problems. And you can see from the way in which he's bending over just a bit that the emotion of this moment is overcome.
No loss of lock with the Surveyor.
No loss of lock.
Staying
in other words, everything is still going well.
Strain gauge power is now being turned off. These are the touchdown strain gauges, the one which measured the hardness of the surface of the moon. We stayed in lock all the way down to the bottom, so we should have gotten good data from the touchdown strain gauges.
And those strain gauges are important, of course, too. If data has been received from those, the flight alone right there has paid off extremely well.
2 2/3 seconds delay between the signal leaving here and the return from the moon just because of the speed of light.
Continuing
all
on
of these verifications
theory,
can't come back any faster than 2.6 seconds.
The reason for the importance of those strain gauges, that's the measurement of how hard the surface of the moon was. How much give was there to it when the spacecraft
touchdown
sat
strain
down?
Strain gauge power is off. The next command now being sent is to lock the landing gear. That has been sent.
We're waiting now for them to confirm that all
the
of the engineering.
Will be to turn off the engineering commutators and turn on the coast-based commutators, which cycle through 120 separate bits of data.
We're waiting now for them to confirm that the engineering equipment has been turned off. When it has happened, then it'll be time to turn on that television camera. We'll move on to the next phase. As I say, this flight has already paid for itself extremely well. The soft landing has been made. The strain gauges did indicate we will get measurement of how hard that lunar surface was when a spacecraft came in at what would be a good landing speed for a manned landing, a speed of something less than 4 miles per hour. A remarkable achievement. This is also a landing within 10 miles, so far as we know right now, of the original predicted target, and well within the landing site that the geologists had chosen as optimum for this flight. It's in the Sea of Storms. Right now, Surveyor spacecraft on the Sea of Storms, on the surface of the moon, a landing accomplished. The next big step, to turn on television cameras to see exactly how well the picture taker survived its flight.
This is Surveyor Operations. The engineering commutator has been turned off. The coast-based commutator has been turned on. Both of these events have been verified by telemetry.
I mentioned a few moments ago the Sea of Storms. Frank Field?
Yes.
I wonder if perhaps you could give us a report on exactly where that target area is.
Margin over the required.
Right on our globe, you can find it on the eastern, I should say on the western. I'm getting confused between astronomical and the Air Force type of nomenclature. But it is on the western limb. We have put up a little marker right there. And it is on a flat area, the Sea of Storms. Procellarum extends all the way down, as you see here. And we have Copernicus and Kepler, and this is the region it's come in. There are some low ridges off to the east and to the west. It's a fairly flat area. And we have some topographic maps which we'd like to show you. Let's go over to this side. I'd like to go from this model of the moon across to where we have the topographic map. Dr. Rowan, who is with us from the United States Geological Survey, has been responsible for a great deal of this plotting, he and his compatriots in the Geological Survey. And the next mission, in fact, will be a unmanned lunar orbiter. And Dr. Rowan is the project chief on that mission. I wonder if you would explain to us why this unmanned lunar orbiter will be so important, now that we already have a Surveyor sitting right smack over there, just to the north and east of Flamsteed, which is a small crater.
Well, although the area in which Surveyor landed looks very simple, on this map at least, at 1 to 1 million scale and about 1 kilometer resolution. At higher resolution and Surveyor resolution, it will indeed be a great deal more complex.
Well, now, Doctor, the surveyor has set down with a soft landing right in this area. Will the next moon probe or mission be able to see the surveyor sitting below it?
Yes, the unmanned lunar orbiter has the capability of taking 8-meter resolution photography in the area outlined here and 1-meter photography outlined here. So at 1-meter resolution, the surveyor should be detectable, and from photographic coverage of this type, of the lunar orbiter type, we can then map the entire area in detail and determine the extent of the geologic unit on which Surveyor has made its measurements.
In other words, this initial success with Surveyor will pinpoint a small area in the ocean of storms. But in order to make sure that the future LEM flights, the Apollo missions, will be successful, we must find out where that Surveyor is sitting. And the next mission then will photograph the Surveyor, which is already on the ground and hopefully will be sending us pictures. And that will give us the entire picture. Roy, I think that gives you an idea of the topography and the geology of that area.
Right you are, Frank. It certainly does. About the only people here who were not interested in your discourse were Ted Gauchy, the mission director, seen here in your picture right. This happy group of other controllers around him, Bob Park shaking hands there. They're too busy waiting for the television camera to be turned on and congratulating themselves on what is a magnificent flight to right now. Now, let's talk just a little about that camera. It sits there on the spacecraft, and right now should be just about in that attitude as the landing legs are locked on the surface of the moon. The top section can swivel through 360 degrees, can even at times take pictures of the Earth. Its first picture will be of those landing pods, and that'll be the picture we hope will start transmission shortly. We had an interview with Lloyd Ludwig of the Hughes Aircraft Company relative to the subject of the camera and what it'll do. Suppose we tune in on that interview right now. Here is the interview. Lloyd Ludwig, Hughes Aircraft, discussing.
The primary one used on the first mission is the survey camera here. This camera is capable of looking around, as it were, and looking at various places on the surface of the moon and the spacecraft on command from the Earth.
How does it do this looking around, Mr. Ludwig?
This device up on top here, which we call the scanning head, is rotatable. It actually turns in this manner, and the commands to make it turn are radioed from the tracking stations on the Earth. It will turn completely around, 360 degrees. In addition, this disc in here has a mirror on the other side of it, and by tilting the mirror in this manner, the television camera is able to look either down close to the spacecraft or out far in that direction.
It can be moved around then on command from the Earth.
That's right.
What about the rest of this rather complex looking box?
Well, in order to make it possible to carry the television camera on a space vehicle and have it light enough and operate on a small enough amount of power, we have to compress the design into a much smaller space. This device from here to here, which weighs approximately 12 pounds, has in it all of the functions that your studio television camera has, which is about this long, about so wide, and weighs, I imagine, close to 100 pounds.
Do you transmit the same kind of television?
No. Because of the limitations in the strength of our radio signals in the distance of 250,000 miles from the moon, we have to use a form of television that requires less radio signal. These signals are therefore sent much more slowly. Each picture takes 1 second to transmit from the surveyor, as against 30 pictures per second in your conventional home television.
Do you send black and white or color?
The camera basically makes a black and white picture. However, within this device, there is provision for a filter wheel in which the lens is covered by a colored transparent piece of glass. We have three of these color devices in there. By taking the same picture in each of three colors, it would be possible to make three black and white pictures, and then using a series of dyes that are of the same color, recreate a total colored picture of high accuracy much like your Sunday news supplement colored pictures or the colored pictures in a magazine.
The exact numerical analysis, of course, we'll have to wait for some more detailed work. This is as much as can be said now.
The interview that you just saw was made on film a few days ago. Now we're back with our live coverage from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, which may explain the difference in my coat color. We know now that the first test television may be upcoming in 12 to 15 minutes. We also know that the strain gauge information has told us it was a soft landing. We are getting announcements rapidly, but in essence, it means that 12 or 15 minutes from now, hopefully, the
first television. This is Surveyor Operations. The test will now be made of the reception from Omni Antenna A. That is now commanded.
Omni Antenna A.
The one
that
now
did
come
not
up.
Deflect, you remember?
And Bus Chief, Bus One has asked for a signal strength.
They're checking the signal strengths because these first pictures will be made and sent back on the Omni antenna.
The signal level is rapidly
later on,
decreasing.
A high-gain antenna at the top of the spacecraft
down
will be deployed
to
give us the higher signal strength needed for the higher resolution, the better quality pictures.
The signal level
so at the moment,
RPA
while we wait for
further
development, suppose we pause briefly for station identification.
At the beginning, that the chances were at best 70-30. That this thing would work only partially. There were so many things that had never been tried before. Now we find that things are working better than they had expected. The life expectancy is going to be for one of the lunar days. First of all, I must correct myself. It doesn't take quite that long for the pictures to get back. It'll take about 1 minute for the first television picture to get back. The life expectancy, as I said, will be for the duration of one lunar day, which is about it's a little less. It's about, we'll have pictures for about 12 days on Earth time, which is almost one lunar day, which is 14 days. And then we get into the dark period on the moon, when, of course, the sun's rays will not be picked up by the solar panels. That means, of course, that after a few hours, why, there won't be any power aboard the spacecraft except for the storage batteries, and they will soon run out. And during that time, the temperature on the moon gets down to minus 250 degrees, which is going to cause some trouble. So we expect that for the next 10, 11, 12, perhaps 13 days, we'll be getting back information from the lunar surface, at least that long. The Russian spacecraft, Luna 9, lasted 2 days, and that was all we got from that. The fact is that during the night period, that is to say during the first day or so of the lunar night, there is some chance that there'll be enough reflection from the Earth, that is to say, Earth shine, if you call it that, to send back some eerie lunar surface pictures during the first part of the lunar night. At least that's the hope. And there are also some experts who say that maybe even if things freeze up and we have no power and no signals during that 14-day lunar night period, that when it comes back to the sunshine, the lunar day, there is some hope that things may warm up and we may get some more pictures.
Well, here we are still awaiting word that the camera has been ordered to turn on and start sending back a picture. Once that picture is sent back, it will take about 2 minutes in the transmission, and we expect a readout some 20 seconds or so after its receipt here. We are geared to bring pictures from this camera, relayed from space, through this station to you just as fast as they are available.
This is Surveyor Operations.
A few seconds after their arrival.
The mode 4 data that we are now in will cycle through a number of measurements such as main battery temperature, the solar cell array temperature, the heater current in compartment A, the transmitter B temperature, planar array temperature, the survey camera electronics temperature, the helium tank temperature, although helium's dumped by now, so this won't be a very meaningful measurement anymore. Helium, by the way, is the gas that was used to pressurize the fuel in the tanks of the Vernier engines to force it into the combustion chambers. Now that it's landed, the helium has been released into the lunar vacuum so that it will not by any accidental chance start up the engines again. We're looking at compartment A temperature at the thermal shell, the heater current in B, the battery charge current, the output current, regulated output current that goes into the various electrical systems, the solar cell array voltage. The solar cells are no longer pointed at the sun. They're getting about half as much sunlight as they would in their best position, so their current output of the solar cells will be down to less than an amp. The main battery pressure, the batteries are pressurized. They're sealed and pressurized. That's monitored by the sequence of measurements now coming through. Solar panel position is measured at this time. Turbine operations. We're now going to switch to the auxiliary battery for power from now on and turn off the high current mode in the spacecraft. These two commands are now being sent to the spacecraft. This is one of the optional sequences that can be inserted at this time, and it has been.
That doesn't mean anything wrong with the spacecraft. Just an alternate system, something that might work a little bit better.
Proceeding with the sequence of the camera test, turned off the engineering commutators, and turned on mode 7, telemetry data. Now in receipt of the mode 7 data, which is necessary for the proper checkout of the camera information. This is the first step in the sequence of checkout of the camera. The iris servo will be skipped to turn the filter wheel. Filters will not need to be stepped. And we are now turning off the camera power for the present. In a few minutes, we'll turn it back on again for the first check of the pictures. On the moon, 11 hours, 17 minutes, 37 seconds Pacific Daylight Time. The station, the Goldstone Station, has just now been commanded to reconfigure its setup to receive the 200 line picture data and transmit it. The next command will be the telemetry indicates it's on.
So far, no picture has been received.
The next command is going out to turn on the 200 line mode of transmission in the spacecraft.
On this monitor, that may look like a picture. It shouldn't be. This should be information being read by the
mode.
Engineers.
The next command will be to turn on the iris servo motor.
They're adjusting
that
the iris.
Now being sent.
To set the light level of the camera.
We are now waiting. The next command will be to start the frame.
Start the frame. That will be the start of pictures.
The camera is now warming up.
This is not the
unit
on which we
start frame
see
command.
The picture. This is a command monitor in the control center we're seeing right now, and these are the controls.
Now waiting
the
start
the
frame command.
Our picture will come from a different section of this control building. These men are looking at information, television information, on a television monitor here, not the incoming picture from the moon, so far as we know.
Roy, it should take about a minute for that 200-line picture. Is that correct?
That's correct.
The command has been directed from Space Science Area.
From Space Science?
Command has been sent. Start the frame.
Now we wait for confirmation.
I anticipate that this, as we pointed out, this first frame may not be the best possible, but the frame has been started.
This should be one of the legs of the surveyor craft.
That's correct. Once this
We are receiving the picture.
Once this picture is received, we'll see from this tube face here a sudden readout. Once the picture is completed, it will still be a rough representation.
Picture is out
there. There it is. The landing leg of the spacecraft on the moon. They did get the picture, and there it is. The first rough readout picture. For the third time tonight, applause goes up here at this news center, as it is in the control center in Pasadena. This is the dark area of the moon to the rear, the landing leg of the surveyor spacecraft to the foreground. We are seeing an electronic readout. After this, computers will go to work to clean this picture up to make it better. The film representations will be used, and it will be a far better picture than this, but for a first picture, this is remarkably good and clear.
Roy, it doesn't look like the leg has penetrated the soil there at all, does it?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that. The noise at this center is pretty high.
I said it doesn't look like the leg has penetrated the soil at all, does it?
No, it doesn't. I'm trying to read it a little carefully between the bright lights and the rough picture. It's a little hard to see the landing pod down at the end there. You can see the leg very clearly.
What will the next pictures be, Roy, do you know?
It looks like an antenna sticking out, perhaps. And the pod right down at the very end, that round thing at about the center of the picture, should be the landing pod. And as we see it, it's certainly not submerged, which would indicate no great lunar dust. Nor do we see what looked like a heavy battery of rocks around it. Of course, that's subject to a lot of change when they start to move the camera around and take a look at the surface, but it looks remarkably level. And that round object in the center of the picture should be the landing pod, seemingly just about undamaged.
And panned up 5 degrees. And we are now sending the next command to start another frame. Picture, there is an omni-antenna.
Picture. There it is, an omni-antenna. It's looking
that
right at that antenna
of the moon
right now.
And it's on one of the omni-antennas in view.
That would be the B antenna, the one that did deploy faithfully shortly after launch. And it looks remarkably like the one that we've been looking at here in this new center tonight. Very good picture. The 200 lines are showing. You can see a little lineage in there, a little roughness of picture, but it's a very good starting picture. They are coming.